All right, Isaiah chapter 59, and I want to read this morning verse 14. We had it placed on Facebook, the title of what I would like to preach on today with the help of the Lord. I want to basically today deal with a subject that is a very serious subject, but at the same time it's a subject that I think is noteworthy that needs to be mentioned. When it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the truth of Scripture, you see a whole lot of passages and portions of the Bible that you read them, and it's almost like you're reading a modern-day newspaper of things that are happening in our world the way it is today. And, of course, that's just how it is with Scripture. There's so much Scripture that is prophetic anyway. And so we look at this particular verse, and it reminds us today of how things look in our country and in our culture. Let me read verse number 14, and you will immediately recognize when I read this verse, more than likely, where I'm going today with my message. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse 14, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." I'm really struck with the wording of this verse where it says, "For truth is fallen in the street." What I would like to do today is to begin at the place where I normally like to begin, and that's with the context of the Scripture. Then I would also today like to proceed from that and lay out what I think is a case for application that I think we can easily make today when we look at our land. But I would like to begin on a very positive note. I want to say this morning that in spite of how bleak things look, we realize that since the loving and all-powerful God has not budged an inch, since He still is literally, you hear this time and time again, but maybe we need to hear it, He still is exactly where He's always been. He's still in control of things.
Amen.
And I guess we need, from time to time, especially in this untimely way things are right now, we do need to back up, maybe do some recalculation, maybe examine our own personal lives spiritually, consider perhaps the sins of our nation, and just kind of put it all together and at least entertain the question, are we having to deal with what we're dealing with today partially because we're asking for this? Because our nation, let's face it, spiritually stinks. We can't ignore that. But yet God Almighty is still powerful. He's in control of things. And as far as the Christian is concerned, as far as the church is concerned, our future is still secure.
Yes.
We don't have anything to worry about. Now, I know that health is an issue, and rightly so. I don't know about you, but I like to live, don't you?
Yes.
Well, certainly you do. You know, I like to live physically. I enjoy it. You know, that's human nature. We want to live physically. And so we take things serious. But it is so wonderful to know that God's people are living spiritually, and we have a bright, glorious future.
Yes.
And thank God for that.
Yes.
And we need to keep that on the burner as well. Let's look at the context. Truth is fallen in the street. Where do we begin? Let's look at the prophet. Let's consider what maybe he had in mind. Let's consider what drove him under inspiration to record the statement. The prophet gives a commentary of his times. He cites a tragedy in the street. He sees the demoralization of the nation Israel. Truth has fallen in the street. The word street can also be translated gate. It's like, we could look at it like this. Truth has fallen in the gate, street or gate, where justice was to be administered. You have in your mind here a courtroom scene. It's kind of a legal statement. So truth has fallen in the street or the gate where justice was to be administered. We know today that justice depends on the truth. When truth has fallen, there is no justice. This is a tragedy of all tragedies because when truth has fallen, which is the bedrock of everything else, then there's no security when truth has fallen. Excuse me. And here I am again. So it is a tragedy when truth has fallen because, like I say, that's the bedrock of all else. Now, truth is foundational. Truth lies at the root of justice. When it comes to our justice system, when it comes to the courtroom, when it comes to the judge, when it comes to the jury, when it comes to the defense lawyers, when it comes to all that pertains to a legal scene, a courtroom, truth is foundational. Justice cannot be meted out unless truth is obtained. The question is, what is truth? What do we mean when we say truth? We can look at it in different ways. Truth has to do with God. We cannot doubt that because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So truth is embodied in God. He is the truth personified.
Yes. Yep.
He is the truth walking.
Yes.
He is the truth. Jesus is the truth.
Yep.
So truth has to do with God. Truth also has to do with true doctrine. When you read in John's epistles and you read in other portions of Scripture where it talks about walking in the truth and so forth, we know that it's talking about doctrine. Doctrinal truth. I think of Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1, where the Apostle Paul called attention to the fact that the Galatians, who were attempting to mingle law with grace, they were sidestepping the truth. He said, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So the Galatians were not obeying the truth. It was not the whole truth, nothing else but the truth for the Galatians, because they were mingling law with grace. They were tacking on to grace the law keeping. So you see, they were stepping beside. They were removed from the truth. So truth has to do with God, truth has to do with doctrine, and truth is a fact. It is a fact when it comes to doctrine. Let me put it like this to all of us today. When we talk about doctrinal truth, according to the Bible, here are some doctrines. Excuse me again, let me get some water if y'all don't mind. Think of some down in front. What about doctrinal truth? Think about it today. This is one church out of many Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches that believe in true Bible doctrinal truth.
Yes, amen.
First of all, we believe what the Bible says. We believe in the fact of sin. You cannot deny it. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Sin is a fact. Sin is a burden that all people are carrying. Sin is inherent in every human being, the doctrine of sin. We believe today, when we talk about truth, we believe in the doctrine of the fact of heaven, the doctrine of the fact of hell. We believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We believe the King is coming.
Amen.
That's a part of what we believe in terms of doctrinal truth. We believe that a person needs to repent. We believe that the wages of sin is death. We believe that God is good. We believe all things in reference to God. He's good. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all-powerful. We believe, though, that sinners need to repent, come to Christ, that salvation is by grace through faith. We believe that a person can only be saved by laying the cross. We believe that a person today cannot go to heaven unless they come through the merits of Jesus Christ and His finished work.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
That's the only way. We have all kinds of churches that are led, that are part of the landscape of our culture, part of the landscape of our country, part of the landscape of the world. There's all sorts of different churches out there. I've served in the military and rubbed shoulders with just about every brand of religion you could name. But you could take them all and stack them up together. But the leading question is this, regardless of what a person may choose, a church may choose to believe, or what their denomination may teach, the plain truth of the matter is Jesus died for sinners.
Yes.
A person has to get born again. They have to get saved.
Yes.
They do not go through the Ten Commandments. They do not go through religious keepings. They do not go through the auspices of their religion. They go to heaven because they come to terms with what the Bible says about their sin problem and Jesus wonderfully taking care of that sin problem on the cross. And they trusted Him to be their Savior.
Yes. Amen.
You see, we believe that doctrinal truth. Truth has to do with God. Truth has to do with doctrine. Truth can be broken down in terms of the doctrines that I've mentioned. Truth has to do with honesty. Honesty. We are expected to speak the truth, to live the truth, to tell the truth, to walk the truth. In fact, Paul puts it about as good as you could ever expect to have it put when it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." That's Ephesians 4:25. So truth has to do with honesty. With plain old honesty. Saving faith is associated with receiving the truth of the gospel message. That's saving faith. 2 Thessalonians 2:12 says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So the Bible plainly says that a person is damned who do not believe the truth. And that's the truth concerning the gospel. That's the truth concerning Christ's finished work. Coming back now to Isaiah. The prophet said, truth is fallen in the streets. Truth is fallen. Where are we today in America? Where are we today when it comes to the times that we're living and in recent months that have chilled us when we've seen how our country seems right now to be going down the tube at a rapid pace? Justice has been perverted, according to how the prophet puts it. And right judgment has been inverted. The innocent are condemned, and the guilty are acquitted. Doesn't that describe our society today? Justice is standing at a distance, watching truth take a fall in the streets. We've seen before our eyes. It is a known fact that criminals, people that have committed unlawful acts, they are seen time and time again being patted on the back of their wrists. And they go free. And people who are innocent trying to do the right thing, we're seeing it time and time again. They're the ones that are being pronounced guilty. The innocent are being pronounced guilty. The prophet connects a tragedy in the streets to a tragedy that's far worse. May I say this morning that the tragedy that we see in our streets relate to a tragedy that's found in human hearts. When there's tragedy in the human heart, there's going to be tragedy in the street.
Yes.
In fact, this same chapter, he said, your sins have hid his face from you. Your sins have hid his face from you. That's verse 2. So the tragedy that he saw in the street was related to a sin problem. And I would say today, the tragedies that we're seeing today in America are related to a sin problem.
Yes, amen.
The spiritual, national failure found expression in the streets as the truth comes tumbling down. I see a spiritual failure in our land today that has reached negative fruition in our streets. America today is suffering in its streets because America has gotten away from basic principles that alone will keep a nation safe, keep a nation pure, and keep a nation headed in the right direction. We're reaping in America today the consequences of the abolition of spiritual truth in our schools, for one place, that are continually indoctrinating our youth with socialistic doctrine.
Yes.
You've heard this mentioned from this pulpit before. We're hearing this even mentioned on news.
Yep.
The product today that we're seeing so oftentimes that makes up the mob in the street, it's a product that started in the school system where people are being taught anti-capitalism. They're being taught pro-socialism. They're being taught those things in the school system. And I will go on record and say today, we vet presidents. We vet politicians. Of course, the vetting system hasn't paid off a lot of them, though.
True.
We vet people that are holding positions in our land. Why don't we do a better job vetting the teachers that are ruining the minds of our young people?
That's right.
Amen.
Don't they need to be vetted?
Preach it.
We as a nation take a stand collectively against communism and socialism, and yet we permit those who espouse that ideology to teach our young people.
Yes.
That's wrong. That's inconsistent. We're reaping the consequences of doctrinal truth being slaughtered in churches as the truth of the gospel is being denied to the people from the pulpits. I believe we can say today that truth has fallen in the street of churches. There are many people who never had the privilege of hearing the gospel message. There are many church-going people that never had the privilege of hearing that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins.
Amen.
There are many people today that never hear a message on salvation is by grace through faith. They're hearing a tangled mess and a conglomeration of everything. Truth has fallen in the street of many churches. We're reaping the consequences of a political miscarriage of truth as now is being seen in our land, as the basic charter of our land is being ridiculed and rattled and riddled by radical and reckless politicians who support anarchy over rule and order. You can't deny it.
That's right.
Truth is fallen in the streets of our capital when politicians attempt to hijack the government designed by our founders and replace it with radical socialism. There has been the attempt from day one since our president became the president of the United States. There has been an attempt from day one to discredit our duly elected president. There has been an ongoing attempt. They've tried everything. Now again, the question comes up today, why do we preach this from our pulpits? Here's why, and you've heard me say this before. This has become a pulpit issue. Because if the wrong crowd takes over, we won't have a pulpit.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
And that's why I'm feverish about it.
Amen, preacher.
Yeah.
You won't have a church.
That's right.
You can trust me when I say today that we have enemies, internal enemies of our country that are against the Bible, against the gospel, against the church.
That's right.
Against the market system. Against what we believe and what we endear and what we've been taught and what our founders intended. They are against it.
That's right, yes.
When truth falls in the street, the Supreme Court becomes confused. When truth falls in the street, our Congress knows not what laws to make. When truth falls in the street, our young folks become anarchists. When truth falls in the street, every man does that which is right in his own eyes, for he interprets the truth as he sees it, as what he thinks is the truth. He becomes his own God, because in his mind, the truth is how he sees it. Instead of the concrete, laid out standard of truth, as something being white, something being black, something being right, something being wrong, it becomes a dingy gray. Truth has fallen politically. There's a call today, and you know this, and this is a height of idiocy. There's a call today to defund or dismantle police forces in our cities. How idiotic can you get? Any thinking person with a mind of a first grader, with the education of a first grader, knows that our society is a society of law and order.
Yes.
And what are you going to do if someone breaks in your home? What are you going to do if someone shoots at you? What are you going to do if you can't call the police?
That's right. Yeah.
God help us today. We're overrun by idiots.
Amen.
Yeah. We're overrun by people that seemingly can't even think anymore. It is amazing how sin warps the reason.
Yes.
There's a cultural revolution going on today aimed at removing history, starting all over again, defacing and tearing down statues and monuments. You see that now. It's all over the news. The motive, and may I be clear on this, the motive behind it is not racial injustice. It's rather a radical attempt to destroy our current government. Here's what we must know. The radicals know that a knowledge of our history will defeat their agenda.
Right.
Their agenda of a new America with a socialistic government. The history of our country has to be destroyed, because study history. You'll study a rich history. You'll study a history of law and order. You'll study a history of where the Constitution meant everything. You'll study a history to where laws were laid out governing how our society would best function. So you have to remove it if you're going to propagate this new, quote-unquote, American dream of these radicals. We can't hold on to our history. protesters. You've heard this. Tearing down. That could happen in our own state. Tore down the Confederate monument in Durham, North Carolina. People are calling for the removal of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson statues. Roving mobs tell me the truth hasn't fallen in our streets. Roving mobs are free to move through communities, destroying everything in their path that they don't like. I guess I come up in old school, and I thank God for the old school.
Yes.
But I come up believing that when it came to anything that had to do with federal property, state federal property, had the endorsement of the government upon it, if it comes to the removal of anything pertaining federal state property, that had to be handled. It had to be legislated right. It had to be handled right. It had to be handled by true, duly elected, vetted officials.
Yes, thank you.
Instead of a mob moving through a town and looking at something and saying, I don't like that statue of Robert E. Lee. I don't like Stonewall Jackson standing here. I mean, listen, even if there was a case in point for destroying those relics of our culture and history, this wouldn't be the way to do it anyway.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
We're not, our culture, our society, our country is not set up to be governed by the mob. Truth has fallen into our streets today when politicians and policemen, rather, have to stand by while rioters burn buildings, loot stores, because mayors and governors tell them to stand down. Truth has fallen in the streets. I've seen pictures lately of policemen literally standing there watching while cities burn. They're literally spectators. They're watching. If they get involved, then they have to butt heads with the mayor or with the governor. Then they lose their position. But you and I both know where you cannot have law and order, police forces, the military, the National Guard, and the people that are our defenders. When you remove their authority, what do you have? You have pandemonium. Yep. Truth has fallen in the streets. Truth is falling into the streets of the city of Seattle, Washington, which has a district that is literally ruled by the anarchist. It has run that district. That district has literally run the police out of the district, and the mayor of the city endorses a rebellion. Truth has fallen in the street of many churches in America. Many have turned away from the truth. Many no longer love the truth. Many no longer make the truth as a priority. Truth has fallen in the streets of our homes where the Bible is removed, not honored and not taught. We see the consequences, incidentally, in the lack of spiritual vibrancy in the houses of God, where altars now are basically vacant. And you can go back and you can say, the home has failed immensely. I think of two politicians in the Bible. One an Old Testament politician, one a New Testament politician. And both of those politicians, interestingly enough, inquired about the truth. One of them, Old Testament, one of them, New Testament. And I want you to think about how interesting this comparison is. You have Pilate in the New Testament, in John chapter 18, who said what's true. What is true? You have Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3, and he asked the question, is it true? You see, they remind us of politicians today who talk about truth but do the opposite. Pilate said, "What is truth?" And he walked away. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is it true?" But the truth didn't have any bearing on him. Because look at the man that he was. When truth is fallen, justice cannot be served because there's no longer a standard to determine right and wrong. And that's my basic logic. The poet Russell, many of you remember his poem when you were in high school. He wrote, "Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own." That's a tremendous piece of literature. You see, the idea that Russell was laying out in that poem is the fact that there will be crisis moments throughout history. There will be crisis moments. But it's important to choose the side of truth at any given time. Although truth may seem to be losing, God is in control and truth will ultimately win. That we can be sure of. So, what is the answer? That's what you want to know, right? What is the answer to all this? What is the answer? Well, I believe what the prophet saw was a preview of times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says this: "Know also in the last days perilous times shall come." Then you keep reading. He talks about people being fierce. I believe what the prophet saw was a preview of our times. I believe what the prophet saw is a prelude of worse times. Yeah. Imagine what it's going to be when the church leaves.
That's right.
I'm talking about the world. Imagine no longer having the influence of the truth. Imagine. You talking about lawlessness. You talking about anarchy. Of course, the Antichrist will move in on the scene. And he'll gain the respect of the people for a while. Of course, he'll break his contract with Israel. And that's an area of prophecy I'm not going to get into now. But I'm telling you, you're talking about perilous times. Try to imagine the world after the church goes out. So I believe the prophet here, the prophet, is giving a preview of our times. And is giving a prelude of the worst times. You say, "What is the answer, preacher?" Here's the answer. Turn to the one who is the truth. Turn to the one who is the answer of revival in the church. Turn to the one who is the answer for salvation. Turn to the one today who is the true answer to what we're dealing with. The answer, I believe, today is a spiritual awakening in the land. The answer, I believe, is getting back to the Bible. Getting back to vital Christianity, the answer today is living what we say we are.
Yes.
And serving God.
Yep.
In spirit and truth. Truth may, and here's a positive thought, truth may be fallen in the streets, but it's alive and well in Christ.
Yes. Amen.
The truth alone liberates. Yep. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth will make you free." You see, by the way, in case you think that the prophet was all negative, he really wasn't. In fact, in this same chapter, he begins on a very positive note. Do you know that he starts a chapter out? Here's what he says. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened." Isn't that good?
Amen.
"Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear." Here's the encouragement that I see. God's hand is not shortened, but what he can still save today in the worst of circumstances.
That's right.
He's still in the saving business.
Mm-hmm.
He still can pluck sinners out of burning.
Yes.
He still can turn people's lives around. He still can give victory, even though all we hear about is riots and coats. He still give victory.
Yes.
Truth is fallen, but it's not dead. The one who said that he is the truth is still alive and will be forevermore. May I say today, the anarchist will never tear down the monument of the Bible. They'll never tear down the monument of the church. They'll never tear down the monument of the future that God's people can look forward to. They can tear down civil war statutes all they want to, but they'll never take God out of this world.
Amen.
And they'll never take the presence of the Holy Spirit out until the church goes out. And then the Holy Spirit will be working individually during the tribulation period. So they can keep on tearing down. But I thank God today, even though truth might be falling in the streets, it's still alive. And I have a suspicion every one of you in this building today know what I'm talking about. Because you've already experienced the vitality and the riches of having that truth to set you free.
Yes.
And then you folks that are watching and listening to me through Facebook, I would encourage you today to take to heart, as I encourage this audience here, realize that at a time when it looks like truth is falling in the streets, and it looks like anarchy is ruling, but thank the dear God, truth is still alive.
Yes.
We still can have victory. And if you're listening to me right now, watching this broadcast today, and you're not a Christian, listen to me. To say I can't afford to get saved, I tell you, you can't afford not to get saved.
Amen.
Things are in such a mess. I don't know. I wouldn't want to take one single step in any given day without God in my life.
Right.
And then on the top of everything else, could get the virus, could wind up getting robbed or our house is looted or whatever. There's all kinds of threats out there. I just want to know today, when I deal with this mess, I want to know that I'm one of God's own.
Amen.
And I'm trusting Him. So that's the message I want you to take away from here. You see, truth is falling in the streets, but it's not dead with the church.
Amen.
It's not dead with God's people. Because the truth is living.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Father in heaven, I pray today if there's anyone hearing me right now that has never accepted the truth concerning their sin and your provision through your Son, I pray they would do so now. I pray right now, Heavenly Father, that the Word of God would be an encouragement to the hearts of your people. Thank you for this good attendance here today in this building. And then the confidence of those that are watching and listening. We ask you to bless them. We do pray for the safety, for the healing of our land. We pray for our president. We pray for the healing of our nation. We pray, Lord, for the ending of the rioting. We pray that the government will take control of the situation there in Seattle, which could be in any city in this country, if it's not stopped. So, Lord, I pray today you'll give our president courage to continue with his bold movement forward. And I pray today especially for those in our country that have never embraced the truth. Dear Lord, today please save their soul. While we keep our heads bowed for just a moment in this building, if you're here today uncertain about where you're going to spend eternity, or if there's a spiritual need today that you sense in your life that you'd like to just slip to an altar and pray about, could I see your hand, anybody in this building? If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, or if you're here this morning and you just feel like you need to come and pray, regardless of the type of service this altar is open. I hope you know that. And if you need to come, you come on right now to the altar. If you just want to come and pray, that's not going to disrupt anything around here. It'll never get so bad that we're not going to have an open altar. I can tell you that much right now. And right now in the home, if you're listening and you're not saved, call upon the Lord right where you are and ask Him to save you, and He'll do just that. So thank you today. Father, bless now this message in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you today. Appreciate your being here this morning, and y'all been a lot of crowd. We've had a good time today, and the Lord have
it. Amen.
And we hope you'll consider coming back Wednesday night if you possibly can. And I'm going to go ahead and shut her down as far as the Facebook is concerned. But Brother Calvin Vaughn, will you dismiss us in prayer while I'm shutting it down? Not your prayer, of course. You go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you.